Philippians chapter number 4, verses 4 through 6. Amen. How many of you are reading the Word of God? I see the stars coming up for each month. Some are just a little bit behind. Let's get caught up and let's get it done. I'd love to pass out about 100 certificates of award at the end of this year. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Praise God. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord part-time. Rejoice in the Lord in the good time. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Anytime they repeat it in the same scripture verse, it must be important. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Praise God. Be careful for nothing. Amen. But in everything by prayer and supplication. The word careful in this setting means careless. Be careless about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. Long story short, let me put my sermon in a nutshell, but you're not going to get to go home. Let me just say this. Praise God. This is the kind of prayer that God answers. That on CD, so you're going to have to come to church to get to see some of the things we do here. Praise the Lord, but I hope you enjoy the CD. I just did that for our car riders, people that you're going to give a CD to. Amen. But let me just tell you, we're going to preach for a few moments this morning, make the choice to rejoice. Now, if I have a choice, I am going to choose to rejoice, because I have learned in life that if I choose to stay in depression, if I choose to live in the valley of an indecision, if I choose to live in an area of compromise, that it's only going to get, like the little child said, worse and worse. It's going to get badder and badder. It's going to get more and more terrible. But I have also learned that if I choose to rejoice, even in my dilemma, that somehow, in some way, God always makes a way. And I always get to feeling better. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us. Jesus, we call on your name today and we seek the face and the favor of the Holy Ghost. We pray your presence, power, and anointing upon every life situation in this room right now. And everybody shouted in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're seated. Amen. Let's make the choice to rejoice. We've got to make that choice. You can either say good morning or good morning, Lord. We've said this before, but we say it again today. Good morning, Lord. Or good Lord, it's morning. Amen. I was so excited about coming to church today until I rolled out of bed about 5:30. Fixed me a cup of coffee, went to the computer, and started formulating the message. God gave me Sunday night first. And then he gave me Sunday morning second. So if we preach like the house is on fire this morning, we're a little slower tonight, you blame the Lord. That's the way it came. But I was whistling, I was rejoicing, and I was excited about coming to the house of God. Are there any needs? Oh yeah, there's umpteen dozen needs. If I told you all the needs, you'd be sad and depressed. Amen. But that's okay. We're not going to report all of that. We're going to pray over it and believe God for it. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to choose to rejoice. Would it be all right with you if during this sermon this morning, every now and then we took time out for a shout? Praise God. You know what I love hearing? I hear some men's voices. I like that. When men praise God, big walls are torn down. When men praise God, families have revival. When men praise God, God moves. But when the women praise God, He feels a touch. And the church feels a touch. Amen. Every now and then, let's take time out for a shout. Praise God. Nobody wakes up happy and successful. It's a choice. Amen. I'm bragging about the way I woke up this morning because I'm telling you, it is not a habit for me to wake up that way. Amen. My boys learned that when you wake daddy up, you do it slow. And I remember the first time I went hunting with a preacher friend of mine. We stayed in a cabin in the backwoods. And man, hunting time in the morning comes too early. It really does. I'm telling you, it comes too early. And the alarm clock went off. And man, he was one of these guys that jump up and just all excited and thrilled. And I'm like, you're just going to have to give me a few minutes. That's just the way it is when I, in the morning. I remember one time I was hunting with Ricky Beal. Ricky Beal is passed away, and he was one of my first hunting buddies when we moved to Lexington 20 years ago. And I was hunting with him. We were staying in a rat-infested little travel trailer that was parked on a farm, and we stayed there. I woke up before the alarm, and I hardly ever do that. And I looked at my watch, and it said 5 o'clock. Well, it was time to get up. And man, I jumped up, went to singing and dancing around the trailer, and he raised up and he cleared his eyes and he looked at me and he said, "What time is it?" And he's usually the one up and I'm the one he's trying to get up, you know. And I said, "Man, it's 5 o'clock. It's time to hit the woods. There's a big one out there with our name on it. Let's go get him." And he said, "Okay." And he said, "Man, I feel like I've only been asleep just a little while." And a little while later, he looked over at the clock. He said, "Marshburn." And he held the clock up and it said 12 midnight. I had my watch on backwards. I said, "Oh man." Hey, it could drive a person crazy for somebody to jump up out of bed at 12 midnight and start singing Tutti Frutti. Because that's what I did. And I had my watch on upside down or something. I don't remember what it was. It was bad. And so we went back to sleep. And sure enough, the alarm went off and he had to drag me out then. There wasn't nothing about Tutti Frutti. I wasn't singing songs then, buddy. But we were dragging to. Hey, it's a choice. It's a choice you have to make. Amen. I could have said, "No, you go on. I'm staying in bed," and I would have missed opportunities. But listen, we can miss opportunities from God when we wake up and it's gloom and doom and despair, and half the day is gone, and we've not done anything for the kingdom of God, and we've not been. I choose to rejoice. My choice is to rejoice. I promise you, get that mentality. You say, "But hey, I don't feel like rejoicing. I don't feel like doing that." Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. You don't have to feel like it. The man told us last week when he preached for us, he said, Paul said, "I don't walk by sight and I don't walk by feeling." Amen. You know what you walk by? You walk by choice. You're not here today because you're well. You're not here today because you're sick. You're not here today because you're financially blessed. And you're not here today because you're bankrupt. You're here today because you chose to be here. Why don't you choose to be here tonight? Why don't you choose to be here next Sunday? Why don't you choose to clap your hands right now? Why don't you choose to say hallelujah? Why don't you choose to rejoice? Make that choice to rejoice, and your life is going to change right now. Your life will change instantly, in a moment's time. Praise God. Discipline. You're just not going to wake up with discipline. Amen. Could anybody use a little discipline? I could. I could use a little more discipline in my life. And, you know, you're going to be disciplined one way or another. Praise God. Now, amen. Pastor's here today, and so could I speak to our ladies for just a moment? Amen. Some of our ladies grew up in homes where you were spoiled. And mom didn't take a whole lot of time to train you to clean the house or wash the dishes or make sure everything's in order and beds are made and all of that. And so it bled over into your married life. And you want to go back and fuss at your mom. And you have a right to, because she should have trained you to do that. But apparently you were hard-headed and she gave up and lost the battle. And so it's bled over to your married life. I'm telling you. And so, you know, you're going to be disciplined in one thing or another. Ladies, you're going to be disciplined in an unkept house and garbage and trash and stuff and unmade beds and dirty sheets and towels and... Hello? And we're going to watch G-rated movies and family-oriented films all day long and let everything go. But listen, we can't do that. Hello, we can't do that. I can talk to the men. Praise God. Happy Father's Day. Let me talk to you, man. Hallelujah. Amen. You go out and work all day, and she's worked all day, and you come in like a bull in a china cabinet and make demands. Amen. Hello? Slow down just a little bit. She's had a day too. Praise God. Look at the house. Look where the vacuum cleaner's been. Compliment her a little bit. You know, men amaze me. They do. I mean, I have learned some things about being a man. You know, when a few years after we've been married, she finally taught me how to wash dishes a little bit. And she finally taught me to take the garbage out. She finally taught me things I needed to learn. But when I would do these things, I was like, when she came home and saw it done, I was like, And there were times that she would just go on like she never saw it. And I'm like... And then it finally dawned on me. You wash dishes maybe once a month. You take the trash out when it's full. And that's maybe once a week or whenever it is. And you really don't do much more than that in the house. And when I do it, I'm supposed to get a certificate of award. When it's been 6 months since I came home and told her what a good job she's done. She don't even give me that look anymore, like. And so, men, take it easy. Come on home and compliment a little bit. Can I give you a little marriage seminar about that long? One preacher gave a marriage seminar and he opened it up with this. He said, I start early that morning for what I want to accomplish late that night. Where are we going this morning? That's what he said. That's what he said. I think that's good advice. You come storming in, grease all under your fingernails, your hair everywhere if you got it, and then you just make demands of everything, and no wonder you're not getting along too well. But discipline is not going to come naturally. You're going to discipline yourself to be lazy. You're going to discipline yourself to be tacky. You're going to discipline yourself to be messy. Or you're going to discipline yourself to get it all together. You're going to discipline yourself to get it all together and make it come together and make it right. Amen. And so discipline comes as we begin to work on it. Amen. And so if you're a sad sack today, if you're one that's easy to fall in depression today, why don't you make that choice? Make that final choice. To rejoice. Amen. Everything has not got to be about feeling. Amen. Stop worrying about the feeling and start worrying about the choices. Make the choice to rejoice. One of these times when you're rejoicing, you will run the aisle. You will dance in the Spirit. You'll speak in tongues like a Chinaman. It may not happen every time, but you can rejoice every time. Come on, somebody, clap your hand. Let's take time out for a shout. Praise God. Not everybody has discipline, but you have desires. But your desires will not be rewarded, but the discipline will. Amen. Your desires from your decisions, which form your what form your disciplines. Amen. You don't start with discipline. You start with desire. You got to get it in your heart. You know, I desire a cleaner home, or I desire a better relationship with my wife, or I desire a better relationship with my kids, and I desire to be at church more often. Amen. And then you step by step through the process, prayer, fasting, seeking God. It gets better along the way because it's now a desire. It's not something because everybody else is doing it. It's not something because somebody told me I ought to do it. It's something that I feel in my own heart. And I'm telling you, everybody ought to feel in their own heart to give God praise. Everybody ought to feel it in their own personal life to give God worship. Amen. What do you want for yourself and your family? Have you asked yourself that? Amen. I want the presence of God all over my house. I want the Spirit of God all over my life. I want Him on my wife. I want Him on my children. I want all three of them. Hallelujah. I want the Spirit of God doing great things in my home and my family. I want to stand out from the crowd. I want to do great exploits for the Lord. I have a hunger. I've made that choice. Amen. I will not be happy with anything else. Amen. What do you want for yourself? What do you want for your family? Amen. And what do you want from God? If you don't know what you want from God, God can't even help you. Because He's chosen not to. Because you're not hungry enough to seek the face of the Lord to find out what it is you want from God. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. We all make choices every day. Am I right? Some of our choices don't hurt us, but some of the choices we make will hurt us. Make the choice to rejoice. Some Christians choose not to rejoice. Those are the ones that we're talking into victory all of the time. Some Christians choose to be unhappy. Now, if you're a person that can choose to be unhappy, when are you at your happiest? If you're a Christian in this house, and you're a type of person that chooses to be basically unhappy, think back when some of the happiest times in your life are. And that is when we pray you back through. It is. When you get to the point where we're praying with you, that you just begin to dance all over the place. As the happiest times in your life. You can live in those times 24/7 by making a choice. That's what the people that are praying you through have done. That's why they're able to have enough for themselves and for you as well. Because we have made that choice to rejoice. Praise God. Amen. Paul wants us to understand something that's very important. He said, the Lord is near. What he's saying is that the Lord could show up any minute. I'm never alone. We are never alone. The Lord is near you. He could show up at any minute in your trouble, and everything will be okay. He could show up at any second in your troubles, and everything will be gone. He could show up any second and any of your with your enemy, and they'll turn around and run away from you. He could show up any second with a financial blessing that will turn things around for you right now. Wouldn't it be good to let God know that He didn't have to do it on credit? But we made deposits of praise knowing that eventually He was going to come through for us anyhow. Anybody having any trouble? Why don't you choose to rejoice? Anybody having any problems right now? Why don't you choose to rejoice? Why don't you choose to lift your hands and give God glory? Amen. Let's put a smile on it. Put a rejoicing. Rejoicing is smiling. Rejoicing is happy. Put it all over there. Let the devil see you do it. Amen. Make him feel like you're up to something and he don't know what it is. No wonder Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Lord calls Samuel. 1 Samuel 3 and 1, he said, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions in those days from the Lord. The preacher's eyes are growing dim, and it means that he's not able to see some of the carnality and the foolishness and the sinfulness that's going on basically in his congregation. And Eli's eyes were growing dim, and he was going physically blind, but he was growing spiritually blind as well. It was sad in those days. I'm glad that I go to a church where I hear the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel 3 and 2, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in the usual place. 3 and 3 said the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and he said, here I am. You called me. He thought Eli had called him. But Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. Samuel went back and he laid down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. Here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the Lord still spoke to him. What mercy. What grace. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. If there's ever been a time that we need to hear from God, it's now. When people go so long without hearing from the Lord, they begin to develop opinions, and then they begin to rear up false religions, and then they begin. It's exactly what Israel did when they left Egyptian bondage. There were spaces of time that Moses would leave, and one particular time he was gone 40 days to hear from God for the congregation, and when he came back, Aaron had already molded a golden calf, and they were dancing around naked, having orgies and worshiping that golden calf in just 40 days. That's how important. And when you go for 2,000 years and you choose not to hear from God, and you choose not a spiritual activity, but you choose religion over God and religion over relationship, you're going to begin to hear all kinds of things. You're going to begin and get involved in all kinds of things. And God only knows where you'll be when you finally do hear the word of the Lord. People get so far gone when they finally do hear the truth, even though it's in black and white and red right there in the scripture, they'll say, no way, that's not true. I don't believe that. Why? Because it's been so long since they've heard the true voice of God until they don't recognize it when He speaks. Samuel didn't even recognize the voice of God, and he slept right beside the Ark of the Covenant. And Eli said, go back, son. I remember what that is. It's the voice of God. It's the voice of God. Hallelujah. We need the Lord to speak to us. Eli told Samuel, go lie down. And when he calls, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went, lay down in his place. The Bible says that the word of the Lord was rare, and yet God is patient with someone who missed it three times. God didn't give up on Samuel. And he's not going to give up on you. Eli told Samuel, if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. I don't want the Lord to give up on me. I want the Lord to keep on speaking to me until I get the message and understand what He's speaking. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something. This is what He told that boy. And that boy grew up to be one of the greatest seers and one of the greatest prophets in the Word of God. And the Lord told him, I am about to do something in Israel. Can I transpose that and say, I am the Lord, and I am getting ready to do something in Lexington. I am getting ready to do something in Landmark. Do you want to have casual church where we come and gather before the service and we try to work business deals with one another, and we go through about 45 minutes of the deadest preaching you've ever heard in your life, and the deadest worship you've ever felt, and the deadest this and the deadest that? No. I'm ready for the Lord to do a great thing. I want the Holy Ghost to rip through this house. I want the power of God to tear through this assembly. I want the Lord God Almighty to shake this city from center to circumference. I want a move of God. Hallelujah. My wife called me on the phone. I was out of town or somewhere, and she called and she said, I got up and was getting ready to do my errands, and she said, I stepped out in the garage and I sat down in my car, and she said, I couldn't move. She said, the Holy Ghost hit me, honey. And she was weeping over the phone just like a baby. And she said, I'm telling you, honey. She said, God's getting ready to do something with our church. He's getting ready to do something in our city. She said, I want to be so ready for it. I want to be so prepared for what God. And I don't want to be like Jacob. Jacob said, the Lord was here in this very place, and I didn't even know it. I've asked people to raise your hands and worship. David said, let the lifting of my hands be just like the evening sacrifice. But because it's been so long since we've heard a true voice of God, until we don't even believe that's right, I'll never lift my hands. I'll never shout hallelujah. It ain't the way I do it. Amen. Hey, and the way you do it is not the way God does it. God is not going to make Himself fit us. We have got to make ourselves fit Him. Is there anybody here today that will choose to rejoice? Make the choice to rejoice. Anybody can stay the same. Anybody can live the same. Anybody can do the same old thing. But it takes somebody that wants something different to say, I make the choice to rejoice. Hallelujah. 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 These are the things that change things. The Lord told Samuel, I'm getting ready to do something different in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. Have you heard? Something's going on at that Landmark church. Have you heard? Something's happening down there. Something's going on in Lexington. Have you heard? Amen. They'll be saying in St. Louis, have you heard? They'll be saying in Wisconsin, have you heard? They'll be saying in Georgia, have you heard? They'll be saying, my God. Oh, la hasataya no lolia mahaya. Hallelujah! Have you heard? The Holy Ghost is falling. Have you heard? There's another Azusa Street happening. There's another Azusa Street taking place. There's another falling of the Holy Ghost. There's another anointing People are being healed. Blinded eyes are being opened. The dead are being raised. Come on, let it shake you. Come on, let it shake you. Come on, let it make you. Come on, let it move you. Oh, Holy Ghost. God's getting ready to do something in His people that's going to shake everything. God's getting ready to do something for you that was someone that's going to get somebody's attention. God's getting ready to do something for His body that will shake up believers. Make the choice to rejoice. We all have needs, but those needs will not be met until we rejoice in the one that can meet those needs. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In the middle of your praise, ask Him for what you want. In the middle of your worship, call on the name of Jesus. In the middle of your rejoicing, make your petition known. Don't fret. Don't worry. Let Him know what you want. If you need a healing, tell Him. If you need, come on somebody, tell Him what you want. If you need a blessing, tell Him. If you need financial, tell Him. If you need joy, if you need peace, miracles. If you just need to sit at His feet, if you need Him to touch you, if you need Him, you need worry to leave. Come on, come on. Make the choice. Make the choice. Our desires become our decisions. Our decisions become our disciplines. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something good about God. When Joshua divided the land among the Israelites, when he went into Canaan, he took some of Judah's portion and he gave it to the tribe of Simeon. He took some of Judah's portion and he gave it to the tribe of Simeon. Why? Because Judah had more of the blessings of God than she could handle. And that's where this church is going to get. We're going to have so much overflowing until we'll be able to bless that one. We'll be able to bless that city, that country. We'll be able to bless that state. We'll be able to bless that division. We'll be able to bless that missionary. We'll be able to, come on, come on. Call me Judah. Call me Judah, because we are blessed. And Judah is, Judah means praise. The tribe that was named Judah became the tribe that was most blessed because Judah means praise. Do we need to change our name out there? If we do, I will. I'm telling you, I will. We'll call it Judah, a United Pentecostal Church, because we will be the church that will bring God praise. We will be the church that will bring God glory. Does anybody feel the Holy Ghost in this house? We will be that church. We will be that congregation. We will be that people that will bring God glory. Let the people of the Lord rejoice. It is our choice. When you're a praiser, you'll always have more than you need. When you make the choice to rejoice, you'll always have more than you need. When your name means praise, you will always have more than you need. Let's make that choice to rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the book of Psalms, David makes a choice. Amen. He said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He said, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto generation. Praise ye the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. In the last five chapters of the Psalms, each chapter begins and ends with the phrase, "Praise ye the Lord." I wonder if our days began and ended with praise. I wonder if our prayer began and ended with praise. I wonder if everything we did began and ended with praise. You will have more of God than you can handle. You'll have more of the blessings of God than you can take. You will not be able to handle or take it. David said, "Praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in His height." Listen, in between every chapter, David tells us about what God has done and all about what God can do. Make the choice to rejoice. Make the choice to rejoice. David said, "Praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power." He said, "Praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellence and greatness." Amen. Psalms 153, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Amen. Praise Him with the in the dance, praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the loud cymbal, praise Him upon the high sounding cymbal. Amen. Psalms 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It's a good life living for the Lord. Does anybody feel like praising Him? Does anybody feel like praising Him? Does anybody feel like worshiping Him? Does anybody feel like there's a revival in the atmosphere. I want this to bleed over into the service tonight if the rapture doesn't take place. But if the rapture does take place, somebody's going to go rejoicing. Somebody's going to go rejoicing. Somebody's going to go rejoicing. Praise God. Let everything. Nehemiah 8 and 10, Nehemiah said, "This day is sacred to our Lord. Don't grieve, don't be depressed, don't be oppressed, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." Somebody make the choice to rejoice. Enjoy the journey. I said, enjoy the journey. It's a good life living for the Lord. Praise God. Amen. If there's a need in the house, I want you to come forth rejoicing. Amen. If you need the Holy Ghost, come forth rejoicing. If you need healing, come forth rejoicing. If you need financial blessing, somebody looking for a job, we passed out work. Come on, rejoicing. Come forth. Nobody? Nobody? All right, we're closing. I knew there was. All right, come on. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, come rejoicing, come celebrating, come lifting up the name of the Lord. The Holy Ghost is here. The power is here. The anointing that breaks the yoke is here. The Spirit is alive and well. Come rejoicing.